Today we are going to read from the New Testament book, Gospel according to Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. I read from NASB New American Standard Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day, and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem around Jewish greatest festival, Passover, and Unleavened Bread Festival. As we know, his disciples here, Luke specifically says in verse 5, the apostles, they were chosen by Jesus specifically with specific tasks or missions. The apostle means the one being sent. Even among his wide circle of disciples, say out of 500, the maximum, these chosen 12 apostles, they had so little quality of faith. Jesus reprimanded on this occasion while he was determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill all those prophecies written about him in the Old Testament books. His apostles, chosen by him, handpicked by him for specific tasks, they had so little quality of faith, because among them arose pride. Who was going to sit next to Messiah Jesus? Because in their mind, Jesus was going to the last trip to Jerusalem to restore Messianic kingdom to Israel. Then, out of 12 chosen inner circle, one could sit the second place next to Messiah King Jesus. That occupied their mind. Jesus, knowing their hearts and minds, tried to shatter their pride, shatter their illusion, said, "Stumbling blocks," in other words, temptations, causing somebody to fall, causing somebody to sin. That occasions are called here stumbling blocks or temptations. But you, if any one of you brings such stumbling blocks or such temptations to someone, to cause someone to stumble, to cause someone to sin, then you'd better commit suicide. Hung around your neck, the upper part of the millstone, huge millstone, around 3 meters, large diameter, right in the middle, there is a huge hole. Through there, farmers, they put grain so that between two stones, they grind, and it is moved by donkey, because they need great power. Human beings cannot do that. Such a huge millstone, the upper part, movable one, should hang around that person's neck, that disciple's neck, and then should be put to the deep sea bed of the ocean. Committing suicide is better than the one who brings temptation to other person, to cause other person to sin. Totally opposite mentality Jesus brings to his disciples, those who are now popped up, who had ever-growing hope for sitting second place next to Jesus in imminent coming Messianic kingdom when Jesus finally reaches that Jerusalem. What a terrible situation Jesus was facing. What a terrible apostles who had a mind of their own, totally opposite to their master, Jesus Christ, who was depicted as suffering slave of God, suffering servant, who was determined to go to Jerusalem to finish up his suffering on behalf of sinners, God's chosen elect. As long as we live in this fallen world, temptation should come, caused by ourselves, our worldly lusts, or caused by outside force like a satanic power. Temptation should come to our lives on a daily basis. The point is how we should respond to inevitable temptations, inevitable stumbling blocks. Should we be the one who brings such temptations? Or the temptations should come to ourselves caused by someone else? Definitely, the latter part we have to take part. The temptation should come to us, caused by somebody else. Not by ourselves, we cause temptation come to someone, to cause someone to sin. Even thinking about that terrifies us. But Jesus, as a true realist, tells his disciples, the great temptation, the great dangerous situation they are in. So, stumbling blocks should come. It is inevitable for such temptations or stumbling blocks come. But, woe to the one through whom such stumbling blocks or such temptations come. What Jesus meant was, none of you should bring that temptation to someone else, that stumbling block to put into in front of someone else to cause somebody to stumble, to sin. If that happens to you, you are the one bringing that stumbling block, that temptation. It would be better for you. A millstone hung around your neck, and you were cast into the sea, then you should cause one of these little ones to stumble, to sin. Oh, what a stern warning given to his inner circle apostles, and including us living in 21st century. Usually we don't think we are the cause of somebody to fall. But here Jesus very clearly says, temptation should come as long as we live in this fallen world, living among so many sinful people. Even in our hearts we have a sinful nature. Temptations are insurmountable. But none of us should be the one who brings that temptation to someone else, to cause somebody to fall, especially to cause little ones, literally young little children, all people with very weak faith. In the eyes of fellow Christians, weak, meek, low-class people, sometimes we look them down with disdain. But in the eyes of worldly people, all Christians are looked down with disdain. Then how terrible it is among ourselves, we look down those people with little faith or low estate and less educated and living in poverty, under poverty level. And we look down them with disdain. And Jesus says, be careful, they are little ones to me, Jesus. And be careful, you do not put temptation to that little one to stumble, to have hard feelings against you, to be depressed because of your action against him, your apathetic attitude toward him, your sanctimonious attitude toward him, putting something on your nose and look down on him or on her among same church folks. That's what Jesus is, alarming us as he did to his inner circle apostles. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, he were cast into the sea, then he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. Pay attention to yourselves. It is Jesus' heartfelt plea with his disciples and plea with us. And he takes up once again, as Matthew wrote in chapter 18, if your brother sins, rebuke him, reprove him out of brotherly love, not out of sanctimonious attitude, out of a prideful spirit, no, with humble, meek spirit, so that you may not fall into same temptation to sin like he did. Pay attention to yourselves, so that it would alarm you to be humble under the mighty hand of God, because we are living in constant dangerous situation to fall to sin in any given moment. And if he repents to you, forgive him, and he sins against you 7 times in a day, it means limitless, forever, in Jewish idiom. Turns to you 7 times forever, saying, I repent. You must forgive him. When they heard that saying of Jesus, apostles gave up on themselves, saying, Oh, increase our faith. Because, humanly speaking, they couldn't get rid of their hard feelings against such repeated offender against them. So, out of their desperate incapability of forgiving their offenders, they cried out saying, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, the smallest seed among seed-bearing trees, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted, planted in the sea. The mulberry tree would listen to you, obey to you. As if Jesus is saying, no task assigned by me is going to be impossible to perform when you, my apostles, receive the mandate from me. You remain constantly in trustful contact with me. Then, nothing is impossible. Even at your command, this mulberry tree will be uprooted and will be planted in the seabed. They would obey you as long as you remain in constant trusting contact with me. As long as you don't lose contact with me in trusting way, then nothing is impossible for you, including forgiving your repeated offending brothers or sisters in same church community. Let me throw a monkey wrench to you. If that repeat offender would not come to you, would not ask for your forgiveness, would not repent of his own, her own offense, what should we do? As if Jesus is saying, if he doesn't come with a penitent heart, then you don't have a duty to forgive him. No, that's a wrong way to take Jesus' saying. Romans chapter 5. Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, already clearly said, God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, without penitential heart, without any attitude toward God with penitential heart, still we were sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10 again. While we were not just sinners, enemies against God, but by death of his Son, God were reconciled to us. Without our asking, without our acknowledgement, let alone our penitential heart. This is what we should understand. Regardless of our repeated offenders' attitude, whether they have deep sorrowful penitential heart or shameless attitude against us, not changing a bit, still we are bound to forgive, because that's what we were forgiven. While we were enemies, we were sinners in God's eyes. May the love of God the Father, may the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord constantly melt our hardened hearts and minds, so that the overflowing, forgiving love touches such hardened brothers and sisters in our circle, so that people, outsiders, may know we are true disciples of God, because that's what Apostle John said several times, quoting Jesus' command. John chapter 13 and 1 John chapter 3. Constantly, Apostle John, he reminds us of Jesus' parting command. I give you new commandment. Love one another. When you love one another, by this, they may know you are true disciples of me. 1 John chapter 3 again. We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, whether those brethren are repeated offenders against us or not. Let us think and make this sink down in our heart, so that out of a humble, penitential heart, we may constantly offer up to God our heartfelt gratitude and praise to Him, while forgiving our unpenitential repeated offenders, regardless of their attitude. May God have mercy upon us. Let's pray. Lord God, this is Jesus' true love for His disciples, including us. Without His Holy Spirit, we are totally hopeless. We are merciless. But with the Spirit of God, our hearts, hardened hearts and mind, are melted, and we are once again rebuilt upon God's love. O Lord, constantly make us personified entity of your love, so that out of our life, love of God may overflow, touch others, so that all of us may become true confessors, true singers of praise of our God with heartfelt gratitude. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.